And now we're going to look at another aspect of generosity. This is the letter of James. People, I guess they're a little nervous, to Rich. He's very tough on avarice. It's not that the rich, because they're rich, are evil. It's because they're stingy that they're evil. If they're stingy. Now, in my life, I've been privileged to know people who had quite a great deal of wealth, but were generous, cared for people. Even in old Russia, the pre-communist Russia, there was a movement among the very religious, among the nobility and the rich, though there was great inequities, of course. The woman of the house, of the rich house, would go spend the summer in the cabin of the peasants, taking care of the children and cooking the food. It was called going to the people, because they would all be out working in the fields all day. So the woman of this wealthy home would go there and take care of the children, cook the meal, have supper ready when they came in again. That was called going to the people. Many devout Russian women did that. It wasn't enough. There was still great inequity there. I'm not saying there wasn't, but there was also this religious understanding, that's the difference, as I've said many times before, between pity and mercy. Pity looks to the need. Mercy looks to the person. And that's, writing a big check to United Way is not a bad thing to do. But what about the contact, one-on-one, the friendliness? Because if you look at it, whoever we are, our life is very fragile. Our health is very fragile. And nowadays, even our savings are very fragile. And so, why build yourself up on that? I'm saying all that because when you hear this text of James, you're going to see some of the anger of God at the selfish rich. Not at the rich, at the selfish rich. And this is a grace and a message typified by the prophet Amos in the Old Covenant. You big fat cows of Bashan talking to the wealthy women, when are you going to do anything, Well, we'll leave the cows now and get to James. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away, your clothes have become moth-eaten, your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Nowadays it would be more your stocks and bonds are worthless. The rate of exchange has gone down. You got nothing. And you were going to rely on that? What about relying on God? And if you have wealth, giving it over to God so that He can direct you. Oh, God's a fanatic. He's going to take everything I got. Why don't you ask Him? There is a line, I think I've told you this story before. There's a line in the Gospel of Luke where it says, unless you sell everything you have and give it away, you can't be my disciple. Or some line like that. Well, I remember it was the Gospel for one Sunday. I was driving up to the church where I was going to say Mass and preach. I thought, Lord, every time this text comes up, we all duck it. I mean, it's frightening. What are you saying? I said, Lord, this year, I don't want to duck it. What does it mean? What can I say? Because ducking it is dishonest, and it's not obedient. The Lord said to me in the calmest, kindest voice, He said, look, I know they have to feed their children and educate them. I know them. They have to be responsible. What I'm saying is, surrender it all to me and let me tell you how to use it. That's all I'm saying. You see? And trust me. I know people who have done this. and they don't make any serious decision about their money without consulting the Lord, without asking for guidance, you see, which is sometimes, you see, people who want to keep on to their money, they may not ask the Lord because, gosh, he may want us to give some away. Yes, he might. But the point is, when you have the dignity of obeying God, then you have a dignity that you can impart to others. There's concern, there's kindness, and there's actually sharing. But you see that text, I remember that Sunday so clearly, when it was the calmest, clearest voice, the Lord just said, look, I don't want to make them all poverty-stricken. I just want them to surrender it to me. If they do, they'll have a free heart. They won't be always worried, if I got enough, I got to get more, You don't. I'm your God. I can take care of you. I know you have to feed your children. I know you have to educate them. I know you have to take care of your parents. I know that. So why do you think I'm such a irresponsible fanatic? I love you. But what I can't stand is gathering it all in and not being generous when you know that others have needs. That's wrong. And so, look at your wealth, however great or little it is, and see what, ask me what you're supposed to do with it. Very simple. So this text is saying, you see, behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvest your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Whoop. The Lord hears them complaining, rightly complaining, that you didn't pay them what you told them you would, or held back the money because you want to do something else with it for a while. The Lord knows that, and you're going to hear from him. You see? The Lord knows when you're at any level of state or business or whatever, you're manipulating money for your own good. You're not a steward. God owns the whole world. You don't. You're only here for a few years. And so you sort of rent the space and rent the money while you're here. Only one who stays all the time is God. So it's all his. Now this is so important. Now James is trying to shake up the wealthy, who are wealthy in a selfish way. Now, you know, if you look at the history of the church, we've canonized kings, we've canonized wealthy people. It isn't, you know, that everyone has to live the same way, but they all had surrendered their wealth, their lives to God. And that's what James is trying to do. He's trying to shake them up, you see? Because sort of a presupposition in the ancient world, if you're rich, you're a crook. You stole some of it somewhere. And so he starts in that, you see? Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You sinned in not paying them, and the Lord knows it. Or you sinned in defrauding them, and the Lord knows it. Sometimes, you know, the owner of the company or the managing elite of the company are making millions of dollars, and their own people are not being paid a just wage. And the Lord knows it. And that's what he's saying here, you see? Be honest. Be compassionate. Be human. And use your wealth in a way that serves God and serves humanity, especially for the co-workers of the household. Okay? You lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. Now that gets very serious, huh? This guy is going to cause trouble. He's going to sue me for back wages. See if he can't take care of him. Beat him up, kill him, do something. I'm not exaggerating. people can get so hard hanging on to money that they are really inhuman. They are really, nothing matters except me and my wealth. What a fear. As though you can do anything about it, especially in our sort of economic system, when the wealth is not in lands and houses and, you know, it's in stocks and bonds, which are very effervescent, you know. Here today, gone tomorrow. And so he's saying, look, if you have money, care for the poor. They once quoted Mother Teresa. Funny story. She's talking about this, you know, about giving and helping. And see, and she said, and the rich don't give a damn. That was Mother Teresa. We never want to hear that. We never want to hear that. You see, how much can we do to extend ourselves, to serve, and when we have wealth, to share it? Because if we don't, we're going to hear from the Lord. You kept all your money, you had a couple of million, who's got it now? You don't. You're here in front of me. Aren't we dumb? You know, money cannot be the source of happiness, even empirically, because people with a lot of money, what are they worried about? Their money. And the average farmer, he's doing what he can, you know, but he's a lot happier. He's not worried about his money all the time because he doesn't have any. And he'd like to have some, I'm not denying that. This is so profound, my friends, and this excoriation of the word of God against the rich. You see? Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. If you die wealthy, never having helped the poor, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. So then, okay, I'll write a good check. Well, that's something. You know? The ideal is to do something, if you will, symbolically, like that Russian practice I spoke about. Go serve the poor. Go serve the poor. Take care of them. Teach the kids to read. Help them in school. Provide for them. You know, it's a time of caring and sharing and revealing, you see, what? You reveal the face of the Father. You start acting like God. Only God owns this whole world, as I said. You know, we're going to be here a little while and we're going to rent a little space and then leave. Only God stays. It's all His. So why do we ask Him how He wants us to use it? And that was the meaning of what our Lord told me that day as I was driving up to preach. Look, I know they have children. I know they have to feed and clothe them and get them to school. I know that. What I'm wanting is that they would come to me and let me be the manager. So that, you know, well, we got a new car last year, but we could use another new car this year. Could you really? Would you be willing to go and pray about that and ask the Lord, Lord, do we need a new car, or should we take some of that money and give it to the poor? Do we really need a new car? We just got one last year. I'm exaggerating. I don't think anybody would. Well, maybe they're very, very rich. Nobody else would do that. My point is, you see, ask the Lord.